Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So far our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who has called us to be his servants, eager to serve him with the gifts that he has given to us, dear fellow redeemed. The main thought and themes of the last few weeks of the church year are the end times, Judgment Day, our Lord's second coming. And so our sermon text this morning, this parable, is Jesus telling us what we are to be doing while we're waiting and watching for his second coming. He tells us that we are to be active in good works. We're to be faithful stewards of his gifts. We're to be busy about bringing forth fruits of faith. Faith trusts God's grace in Christ Jesus, and faith will always respond to such grace. So believers who have faith worked in their hearts will, by that same faith that's worked in their hearts, produce fruits of faith, so that grace is not worked in them in vain. But unfortunately, as you all know too well, we have a sinful flesh, an old Adam, a sinful nature, a sinful heart that tempts us and leads us to not want to serve our Lord or serve our fellow man, but serve ourselves and be lazy, or maybe even not wanting to do what God wants us to do. And since the Lord knows that we're tempted to do that, he admonishes us several times in the Bible how we should be living as we're waiting for his return. Our theme this morning is, either use them or lose them. I'm sure you've heard that before. Either use it or lose it. If you've got some abilities and you don't use them, you'll probably lose them. If you've got opportunities, but you don't take advantage of them, you probably lose those opportunities. If you've worked at some kind of a skill, like maybe playing an instrument, but you don't practice it and do it, you'll lose that skill. That's especially regard to foreign languages. Just a while back, I was talking to someone, and I mentioned to him that my first year of college, I was dating the daughter of my college German professor, who later on became my father-in-law. And there was three of us in class. Well, by the first week of October, two dropped out of college German. I was the only one left. And since I was dating that man's daughter, I spent hours and hours and hours working on translations of Luther's German. But at the end of the year, I never took a German class again. They didn't offer it anymore at ILC, and I didn't keep up my German. Today, 40-some years after college, I don't know much at all. That's pretty sad. But not as sad as not using the spiritual blessings that God has given to us. Jesus is the man in our parable who went on a far journey. We believers are the servants. That far journey is an intermediate, undetermined amount of time. But an indefinite amount of time is today. It's right now. Jesus is invisibly here present, but he's really like gone because we don't see him. But he will be coming back again. And so how are we to live, and how are we to act, and what are we doing while we're living here waiting for our Savior's return from his far journey? Well, notice in the parable, we're called servants. Literally, from the Greek there, it means slaves. Slaves who are willingly serving and slaving for Jesus, our Savior. We are made slaves by the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts, creating faith in our hearts to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and receive forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, and salvation. Prior to our conversion, we were slaves too. Slaves to sin. Slaves to death. Slaves to Satan. We could do no good thing for God. Our good works stunk before God to high heaven. There was nothing that we could do to please God, no matter how hard we might try. And because of that situation, we remained in the slavery to death, into eternal death. But Christ came to set us free. As you know, he paid the price. He redeemed us. He bought us back and brought us into the freedom of being a slave for him. Not the slavery to Satan, which leads to death and hell, but the willing, loving slavery to Christ, which leads to life. And then Jesus honored each of us slaves by giving us of his gifts. The Lord in our text uses the word talent. A talent is an amount of money. It wasn't a coin like a drachma or a denarius or a shekel, but it was a unit of worth. It was 6,000 days' wages. So if you take 5 days a week times 52 weeks, that would be over 20 years' worth of wages. That's a lot of money. The point here is that God gave to his servants, to us, an immense amount of blessings. He was very, very, very generous to us. In fact, God has given to us everything that he owns. All of it. Everything we have is his. He created the world for us. He created our bodies. He gave us our minds, our intellect, our abilities, our talents, our reason. He gave us our goods, our children, our work, our world. And as good stewards of his gifts, we're called upon to use them for him, to serve him in his kingdom, and to serve others for the welfare of their souls as well. Notice in the text it says, he gave to each according to his own ability. No more and no less than each one can make use of. So, While he was gone, he expects us, his servants, to use those gifts, those talents, those abilities, those blessings that he has given to us. When will he come back? We don't know. Will he come back? Absolutely. So, what happened to those three servants? Did they all serve the Lord, their master? Two of them did. One didn't. Two of them looked upon their calling as a slave as a privilege, a joy and an honor to use their master's goods to serve their master. One of them looked upon it as being a burdensome duty, a pain, and neglected and despised those gifts that he was given. And what was the result? When the man returned, those two who had used their gifts to serve their master received even greater blessings, and they were welcomed into his kingdom. Well, the one who didn't use the master's gifts and blessings had that taken away from him and was cast out of the kingdom. So how does this simple parable apply to each one of you and me as we're waiting for our Savior's return? In the church, there are many kinds of service that's required, and many kinds of abilities that are given to individuals to be able to do those services as God directs us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, different kinds of service, but the same Lord, different kinds of work, but the same God works all of them in all of us, demonstrating to the Spirit that he's working for the common good of all people. And then Paul in that chapter lists some of those gifts of the Spirit that Paul showers upon his children, those who believe in him. From this parable, we're not just talking about gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about all the many gifts that God gives us. Talents, abilities, and so forth. God has graciously entrusted to us so many things in our lives. The question is, how are we going to use them? For self-interests? Selfish purposes? Or in service to God and to our fellow human beings? It takes different kinds of people with differing abilities to spread the good news of salvation. We look at our congregation and we see the many different abilities that God uses in one group of people to make sure the gospel gets spread. There's administrative abilities, financial know-how. There's people who have compassion and love for each other. People who have the ability to recognize opportunity and take a hold of that opportunity to simply speak about Jesus to other people. The ability to teach. The ability to sing or play instruments to God's glory. The ability to have the gift of reaching out with comfort and encouragement to someone who's going through some problems. The ability to speak on a level with children, which we understand the needs of the elderly. Secretarial skills. Technological skills, especially with computers and so forth. The ability to clean, repair, organize. And the list goes on and on and on. But above all, it takes people who have the gift of, what do you think? The gift of availability. For most of us, availability is the greatest of our abilities. It was for those servants. They didn't say, "Oh, I'm just too busy to work for my master. I'm not qualified enough to work for my master." Nor did they think that they had earned or deserved to work for the master and got those 5 talents and 2 talents. Remember, they were slaves, willing slaves. They worked for him because they knew that they were using his gifts, his talents, to glorify him, their master. And what joy when they heard him say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Does that mean that these servants were all perfect? Sinless? Above reproach? Deserving of their master's praise? No. Remember, again, they were slaves. That was their duty to do that. Yet, the whole point of this parable is that they were available. They were faithful in using the gifts and talents that their master had given them while he was away. So when he came back, they had served him. So also, be with us. We've all sinned, and we continue to sin every day in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. And the Holy Spirit leads us through the law to convict us of our sins, and we turn to Jesus Christ, and we receive that good news of forgiveness that Christ indeed shed his blood to pay for every single one of our sins. And it is in that thankfulness, that appreciation for that forgiveness, that we go out and willingly want to be servants and slaves, to give of our time and of our energies and of our talents to our Savior. The first servant put his talents to work, earned 5 more. The second servant put his talents to work and earned 2 more. The third servant buried and hid his. Are we putting our gifts, our talents, our energies, our time to work for the Lord? Or are we burying them? Notice the third servant didn't squander his master's goods with sinful, wild, lustful living. He didn't just put it aside, misplace it, and then lose it. He also didn't enact bad business and then go bankrupt. He just did nothing. He didn't use it. And so because he did not use it, he lost it. He did nothing. That's what made him an ungrateful, unthankful servant. He was guilty of unfaithfulness, lazy, foolish. Then he tried to defend himself by saying, "Oh, master, I know that you're kind of a mean master. You harvest and reap what you didn't really sow and scatter seed, and so I was kind of afraid of you." Well, this last servant is a picture of all of those who say they're Christians, say they believe in Jesus, but then refuse to use their time and their energies and their talents to work for Jesus. Refuse to put forth any efforts to bring forth fruits of faith for their Savior. Why do they do that? No, maybe because they too think that God is mean to them, that God didn't give enough blessings. Maybe he's unfair. He's not good enough. Maybe they just get so busy with the things of this life and working for themselves, they become spiritually lazy and lukewarm and finally don't even care about working and living for the one who saved them, who died for them, who gave his life for them. They definitely didn't appreciate the greatest gift ever given, the greatest blessing of all, and that is being called into Christ's kingdom as his servant to work for him. We are servants of Jesus. What did it cost you? Nothing. What did it cost Jesus? Everything. He gave his life for me to be a servant for him. He shed his blood for you to be a servant for him. He was damned, separated from God, God forsaken, for all of us to be slaves to serve him in this life as long as we live until our Savior comes back again on Judgment Day. We can never repay him for all he's done for us. But we can spend our time and our effort and thankfully serving him with all those gifts and all those talents and all the time that God has entrusted to us. Notice the master calls that third servant wicked and lazy. Wicked because now he was no different than those unbelievers who weren't even part of his kingdom. They too didn't do anything for any master. Wicked because they lived only for themselves. How about us? Am I like that third slave when I don't spend my time serving Jesus? Don't spend my time loving others? Bringing forth fruits of faith? Yeah, we're all of us guilty of that at times in our life. And that's when we need to turn to Jesus again. Seek that forgiveness that washes us clean and turn to his word for the strength. But thank God that Jesus is warning us in this sermon this morning, in the parable, to be spiritually awake and to realize that we are to serve him who loved us perfectly and gave himself for us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, Christ died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Jesus' life and death saves us. But then his life and death also moves us to serve him. What a blessed joy and privilege it is to work as servants in the Lord's kingdom, in all the callings that you have, whatever calling it is you have in this life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, working to the glory of your God, the welfare of others, and praise to your Savior. While we wait, we watch for our Savior's glorious return. Paul says, For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. By remaining in his word and using God's talents and gifts that's given to us in service to him in his kingdom, we're not losing anything, but we will gain everything. Everlasting life in heaven. What tremendous joy it'll be on Judgment Day when we hear these words, Enter into the joy of your Lord. Come and share your master's happiness. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.